Ladies and gentlemen, in the blue corner, standing at a sleek 5'11", 245 pounds, the tumultuous tempest of technique, Thomas Lilly. And in the red corner, at a curvaceous 5'11", 315 pounds, the jovial juggernaut of judgment, John Cheryl Sheridan. A meeting of the masters of mastication. Turn your attention as they delve deep into all things lifting and more. This is Peak Speak.
Hey guys, Thomas here. Yesterday, John and I recorded an episode, but unfortunately, my audio messed up really bad. So I just want to apologize for the poor quality of the audio here. Sam has done his best job to try and make it sound a bit better, and he's made it sound a lot better than what it sounded. So you can get an idea of how bad it was. We still felt it was really important content, and we wanted to release it. So here's the episode regardless. I just wanted to apologize to you all for the poor audio on my behalf. Keep an eye out. We're going to be doing some live episodes while we're all locked down. For now, enjoy this episode and you'll hear from us again soon. Thanks. All right, we're back. Peak Speak, lockdown edition.
Yeah, I'm in my house for the first time recording one of these in a long time.
Nice. I'm in my house too. What's going on?
Man, I don't really know where to start after a week like that. It's been a pretty crazy week. I suspect we're all in a very similar boat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been pretty wild, man. A week of just kind of figuring out what the fuck's going on and what the next month or two looks like.
Yeah, I want to not necessarily apologize, but the last episode we released, I was a little bit facetious at the start about the whole coronavirus thing. And just as a disclaimer, we had actually recorded that quite a while ago before shit proverbially hit the fan.
Yes.
And yeah, it's definitely not a laughing matter.
No, not at all. I think it's important to still be able to laugh at things in a time like this. But yeah, we recorded that like a week before then all of our businesses got shut down.
Well, it was 2 weeks before because it released the week before,
It was too, wasn't it? Yeah.
And it, I mean, it changed so rapidly.
Oh, man. Watching that address, I watched the Prime Minister's announcement live on the Sunday night, and yeah, that was pretty full on, and then it just got more and more full on from there.
Yeah, so we're kind of assuming that people know what's happened in Australia, and we do have quite a lot of international listeners. So a week earlier from today, we got an announcement saying that gyms, pubs and clubs had to be closed 12 p.m. On Monday, so we all had to shut our doors.
And we basically got like 12 to 16 hours notice.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even a full 24 hours or anything like that.
Yeah. Man, it's crazy looking at these numbers. So surely I want to put on my public health practitioner kind of hat. Have you been paying attention to the Worldometer's website where all the numbers are posted?
No, I like it, not firsthand. I've sort of looked at a lot of the numbers secondhand, but I haven't been actively following it.
Okay, so if anyone hasn't been, if you just Google COVID-19 numbers, there's a website called worldometers.info/coronavirus, and that's got like not fully live but semi-live updates of what the numbers are doing and how much is happening. So overnight, USA has received another 18,000 cases, putting them up to 122. Australia in the last week, so I went to breakfast with my dad this time last week, and we were sitting at 600 cases. Now we're at 3,600, so we've gone up by a factor of 6 in a week, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, man.
What's really surprising with these numbers is, so it lists the first case date, and most of them follow the standard trajectory, like the same trajectory as Italy and USA, where it starts off, you know, 1 and then 2 and then 4, and then it just skyrockets straight up. When you look at countries that are really recent for their first case, so we've got Turkey in March 9, and they had their first case in March 9, and they're already at 7,000 cases.
Yeah, wow.
So that's like 2 weeks to get 7,000 cases, whereas Australia's first case was in January 24th, and we're only at 3,000.
Aren't we also doing a lot more testing than a lot of the world? My understanding was Australia's leading the numbers in terms of total testing cases and things like that.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I'm not privy to that.
I don't know that for a fact, but I had certainly heard that Australia is more comprehensively testing, and therefore our cases are probably higher than a lot of other places because we're getting more people who are asymptomatic or fairly close to that because of our high testing rate.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. I do know that the Australian media loves to talk about how good Australia is at everything, despite whether it's true or not. However, yeah, Australia also does have a very good public health system. So
yes, exactly.
Not sure. Yeah.
So, man, it's been a hectic week. What's it looked like for you? Are you two looking at an empty gym at the moment? There's a lot of photos of empty gyms going around on Instagram.
Yeah, for sure. So this is kind of where I want to put my public health hat on. So for those of you who don't know, my degree, everyone knows I've done a nutrition degree, but the degree is a health science degree where you major in something. So you can major in public health, you can major in nutrition, you major in whatever you want to major in. So the base of the degree, especially for the first year and a half, is purely public health. So lots of epidemiology, lots of evidence-based practice. So I feel like I've got a pretty good... I feel like I've got a pretty good handle of, broad-based public health approaches, and I don't feel qualified enough to have any sort of opinion on this matter. So it kind of pisses me off that everyone's putting on out their opinion of what needs to happen and how it needs to happen. Let me assure you that this is an extremely complex situation, and it's not just as simple as, hey, let's just shut down. Does that need to happen? I firmly believe that it does, yes. But here we've got this interesting situation. So it's kind of been a roller coaster of emotion with the whole gyms thing, and I'm sure you've been through this as well, where, you know, we got notified that we need to close down. My initial thoughts is, why are we selectively closing down places of public gathering without context when other places of public gathering are left open, like Bunnings, like Westfields, like everywhere else that wasn't shut down? And I get the whole social distancing thing. I understand how all of that works. I understand the logic behind it all. And I think it is not necessarily flawed logic. I just think it's very incomplete.
It certainly seems to have been disproportionately applied in no real way. Like half-hour waits in... half-hour appointments for hairdressers is fine, but gyms aren't.
Yeah. And you know, I'm trying to remove the emotion of the fact that my business has been affected and think from a broader public health perspective. Yeah. Look at it like this, right? Look at it like, let's say the coronavirus had broken out in the community of powerlifters. And you assess the community, and you're like, okay, where do these people congregate and how is it going to spread through that community? Okay, they congregate in these gyms. All right. Where else do they go? What else do they do? Well, powerlifters eat a lot. Okay, that's the problem. Let's shut down Coles. That's what it feels like. You know, the difference is that we don't have a clear understanding of where the spread is happening. So they've just selectively chosen non-essential services where there's public gathering. It isn't enough. It's not going to do enough. It's not going to flatten the curve. So that's why there's a bit of heavy emotion around closing businesses that are our businesses that aren't necessarily going to make a huge impact on the curve. And we're seeing that. Like, the numbers are continuing to grow, if not faster than before. What I believe needs to happen, what should happen, and obviously it's a lot more complex than just saying it like this, but we do need to follow suit. We need to follow what New Zealand's doing, what other countries in the world are doing, and go into a level 3 sort of lockdown where there is heavy restrictions, where you are to stay home. Obviously, the government's assistance that needs to come with that is pretty fucking full on.
Yeah.
But sorry, to answer your question, what's happened? Well, initially, my thought was, well, I have to survive. And my professional opinion was that the shutdown of gyms, particularly my gym, is not going to make that big of an impact. So my initial thought was, I'm going to run this shit underground. I'm going to allow people to come and train. I'm going to put some very strict rules around it. Very quickly, my opinion changed on that to need to completely close the gym. And as a result, I've offered my equipment to all of the members to keep their memberships running, and now I have two empty gyms because everyone's taken all the equipment, which is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, man, and that's exactly, almost exactly the same trajectory I went through as well. Like, you know, end of last week, I was talking about how if it comes to it, we'd all have a frank discussion that never got written down and only happened in person, and it would be a discussion about how we're going to black all the windows out, no one's allowed to listen to loud music, and we're going to do this by a booking system. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it got to a point where I'm like, now, actually just fucking close everything, go home. And now we've got, well, like, all the bars and plates are pretty much gone from my gym. I haven't got rid of racks yet. Our racks are big and cumbersome and a pain in the ass to take apart. So in a couple of weeks, like in a week or two, if it looks like we're doing this for another couple of months, then I'll probably start dishing racks out to people as well.
Yep.
But yeah, I had exactly the same thought, man. I was like, yeah, we, like, there's only fucking 80 of us, we can just do this, it'll be fine. And now I'm at a point where I don't want to risk the fines. Like, the some of the fines I've seen, I saw someone in that gym owner group that we're a part of post a link to an article about people who are risking fines because they were in their gym filming content for online stuff, which is fucked.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing that every day.
Yeah, exactly. I've been in working just because I like, that's my workspace.
It's your office, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I work way better in my office than I do in my house. So I'll probably continue to go there. But also, it's still social distancing for me because I go to a place where only I am allowed.
Yeah.
And I only touch things that I touch anyway. So, yeah, man, it's been a fucking emotional week, hey? I was kind of okay with it at the start, and then on the Tuesday I sort of put everyone out, or put out like expressions of interest for people, just because I wanted to get a gauge on who needed what in terms of equipment and stuff like that. And then by Tuesday afternoon I had a list and people started rolling in to empty the place out. And we had a few people who just ended up in tears because they walked past the sign on the door that says we're closed until further notice, you know. And it's not until you see how visceral the reaction is from these people who are paying to be there, you know. Like, these are customers an unemotional robotic Tom Bro approach, but they're also, like, you know, they're the community, and I think it's really cool to see that this has had such a really heavy effect on a lot of people, because it makes me realize just how important what we do is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the support we've had from our membership base in terms of almost everyone said they'll continue paying for as long as they can. I've had a handful of people offer to pay like a year's membership up front in order to help with cash flow if we need it. I've had a couple of people who had recently cancelled their memberships for a variety of reasons asked to start paying again so that they can continue to support us through this. It's, man, like, just talking about it almost makes me cry.
Yeah,
it's,
man.
It's an incredibly emotional thing that I always knew we had a very good community, but what I've realized now is that, you know, and I'm sure it's the same with gyms like ours all across the country, if we get through this, we're going to come through with such an amazing group of people that you'll basically secure the future for forever, you know?
For sure.
And I think that has been a real positive out of this whole thing, is seeing how all that works, and seeing just how much the places that we've put our hearts and souls into over the last few years mean to people, you know. Like, it means a fucking lot to me. Looking around an empty gym still makes me emotional, but it's emotional because I'm happy that people have taken it all, and like, it's not just sitting there fucking gathering dust, you know.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Like, it's eerie being in the gym. I don't know how to feel about it. Like you said, I'm so stoked that everyone's got something, even if it's just a kettlebell. The gym has literally been stripped. People are like doing deadlifts with a squat bar, and that's all they can do is deadlifts and rows and floor presses because they don't have a rack or anything like that. And I look around and I'm so happy that that's been able to happen. And I'm so sad that we can't get together and enjoy this together. But you're like, we often joke, you know, I'm an emotionless robot and all that sort of stuff. If my default position, my default conditioning is that I'm unlovable and everyone hates me, and that this week, everyone, just even people I don't fucking know, messaging me being like, hey man, thinking about you, hope everything's okay, I know this is going to be hard. It's fucking gut-wrenching, you know. It's so awesome, the community that we have and that we live in, and the people that we have around us. Yeah, it's unreal. And same thing, I've had members that, even like a guy that came down, moved down the coast, started training, only trained with us for about 6 weeks into a comp, then stopped because he was working up in Brisbane, and he's like, man, I want to turn my membership back on just to support you. Like, he was a part of the community for a very short time, and it just highlights the impact that these communities have on people. They feel a part of something and want to continue to be part of something, and it's very special.
Yeah, man, and it makes me realize just how incredibly privileged we are to be in the position we're in, you know. Like, it's very easy sometimes to forget all of that amongst the day-to-day stresses of running a gym, but I think it's moments like these that, yeah, and for me it's been all summer. Like, we've had a fucking crazy 3 months in Canberra with
The fires,
the smoke and the fires and all of that sort of stuff, and so just to have seen the amount of support that has come out of our community and support for each other as well, like, not just for me, because, like, I'm reasonably okay, I'm sure I'll get through all of this reasonably fine, but, like, we had someone put a post in the members group the other day saying, like, hey, I'm actually not okay about this. This feels really weird, and this training at home thing's really odd, and I'm super emotional about it. And then half the member group came in and said exactly the same thing, you know. I feel like a lot of the time everyone is trying to put on a really brave face, and I mean, I'm certainly part of that. Like, I'm trying not to cry when people come in to take equipment out of my gym, because it's just not a productive thing to do, because then we end up having a fucking tear-jerking cry session for hours and no one gets anything done.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I haven't also sat at home and cried about the whole thing. Like, it's a fucking emotional thing, and yeah, it's just been really cool to see that all that work that we've put into building a community, because I think it's important in this situation that people like you and I actually take a bit of the credit for it, you know. Like, yeah, it's nice to be surrounded by a community of people that are super supportive, but none of that would have happened without us to begin with. And I think sometimes I'm guilty of not passing the buck, but minimizing my role in that, you know. Like, that you've got to remember that these communities are a community centered around people like us, because if we hadn't started it, then it wouldn't be where it is today. And now it becomes like an organic and self-sustaining kind of thing that you don't need to be quite as heavily involved in as you did at the start. But
for sure,
it I think it definitely speaks to the amount of effort people like you and I have put in to develop these communities.
Man, it's recognizant of that conversation we had. I can't remember which episode, but we were talking about how your gym culture is a reflection of who you are as a person.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Yeah, you say that and it resonates, because I'm watching, you know, you and your community, and watching all these other people giving out things and seeing the kind of messages of support that members are sending, saying, don't turn off my payments and all that sort of stuff. And I often remove myself from that because I don't see what I'm doing as anything special. And then I start getting those messages and I start getting that feedback. I'm like, fuck, man. Stop giving me that. You're making water come out of my face. What is happening to me?
Yeah,
this isn't right.
Yeah, that'll short circuit Thomas's emotional circuitry.
There's not a lot going on there. The other thing is just the broader powerlifting community in general. Like, shout out to JP, man. He started that gym owner group, and there's just been so much support and information in that group, and so many people reaching out to each other. It's been so good to connect with so many other gym owners and, you know, bounce ideas and get ideas, you know, of how to survive through this period, the kind of tips around, you know, trying to negotiate with your landlord to freeze or pause rent or reduce rent, and leasing out equipment, ideas around how to do that, everything, just everything that's come out of that group. It's really cool to see the whole community banding together. Shows that there isn't this sense of a scarcity mindset, and that we're in the same boat, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, and I had this discussion with someone the other day about The people who are like still running outdoor boot camps and stuff because that's what the rules say, and it's this sort of double-edged sword about, like, I very much understand and empathize where they're coming from, because a lot of people, like, we are in this circumstance incredibly fortunate to be surrounded with such a supportive community who have all demanded that they are allowed to continue paying. But there are some places where that's not the case, and so these potentially still small gym owners or small PT businesses or things like that have just suddenly had their income cut to zero. And so I completely understand and definitely empathize with the need to work within the rules and still run 10-person boot camps and stuff like that. But at the same time, I think the whole thing should just be locked down. You know, that seems to be the prevailing wisdom, is that everyone should just be at home and we should just be riding this out, because that's how you shorten the, you smooth everything out and make it last a little less, extended periods of time. But, it's hard, man.
When we do get to that stage of a complete lockdown, I'll be willing to have an opinion of, like, what are you doing? Like, don't post that stuff, don't do that stuff.
Yes.
But at the moment, where it's gone into survival mode, you know, I'm lucky that I've got a gym full of, two gyms full of equipment that I can lease out. I'm lucky that I've got an online membership base, even though all of this stuff has taken a massive hit, because if you can't train, you can't train people online. You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I still have a business to kind of, or enough business to see me through potentially. What the future holds, no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're a PT that's immediately had your income go from good to zero, and there's not stricter rules in place, I have no problem with those people taking people outside with the guidelines that they've been given from the government. I'm seeing too many people slander these people online and being like, what the fuck are you doing? Just fucking stop. Everyone stay at home. It's not that simple. No. It's simple if you've, if you can't empathize and you can't put yourself in that position and you know, see from their viewpoint. But fuck, it's not an easy situation.
Man, like, I've had the most stressful week of my life in the last week, and I haven't really seen a reduction in my income in the last week either, because of the supportive community that we have. And, you know, certainly that's going to happen over the next couple of months as this continues. But I can only imagine how incredibly stressful it would have been to see, like, to watch your income stream go to zero in the minutes that it took Scott Morrison to come out and make that announcement on Sunday night. You know, I think you've got to at least empathize with them in some way, because they are just doing what they can to survive within the guidelines that they've been given.
Yeah.
And I also have just matured enough that I don't need to spend my life on the internet hanging shit on other people, because I just don't think it's a particularly productive way to live life.
No, for sure.
I'd much rather be in a position where we can have a conversation about how much good is happening within our broader community, and highlight some of that stuff, than just be like, because it wouldn't that be that complex to spend 45 minutes hanging shit on people. But that's, you know, I just think, I don't think it's a positive thing. You're not contributing anything useful to society at that point. So, man, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I think the scariest thing with this for me, and I was talking to someone about this the other day, is the person I was talking about is a planner, right? They plan everything in advance, long term. I'm the complete opposite of planning.
100%. Me too.
I see no value in planning tomorrow, because I'm so ADHD attacking today that I just can't comprehend what might happen. Shh.
That's just my dog barking at someone, I think.
Oh God. The big scary thing about this is that even if we say try and plan for the future, it's just completely unknown. Especially the fact that, like, let's say we do go into a level 3 lockdown, we lock down for 6 weeks and we get the total cases to zero on paper, but there's something dormant, you know, one survives. It can quickly turn around, and I believe that we're going to see this this pattern recur a couple of times over the next few years until we find some sort of way of vaccinating this, or develop some sort of herd immunity, and these rapid these rapid approaches to shutting the country down is not going to allow us to develop herd immunity. So until we've got some sort of vaccine, it's going to be pretty full on. And especially imagine, like, look at the impact 9/11 had on the world in terms of international travel. Imagine the impact that this is going to have now.
Yeah,
the future is going to look very interesting.
Yeah, it's certainly a, you know, one of those defining moments, I think, in terms of, like, certainly our lifetime. They're the two things I can think of that have been most impactful to our daily way of life is watching 9/11 happen and now this. You know, I'm sitting with my two-year-old son the other day, and I said to him, not that he was really paying attention, but like, man, one day I'm going to tell you this great story about how crazy this time was that you'll never remember. You know, and it's cool watching him just be a fucking two-year-old who's still having a great time, because that's super grounding, because it's really easy to, in this scenario, spend a lot of time just fucking anxious. I've had a lump in my throat all week because I'm just anxious about this whole thing. And having something like that, having a dog or a child who doesn't actually give a shit because they don't understand, is really nice as a sort of refreshingly grounding thing occasionally.
Yeah.
And watching fucking Tiger King on Netflix last night and realizing that actually I'm quite a normal, sane person.
Watching what?
Oh, man, that you got to... It's fucked.
Tiger King.
Yeah, it's about this...
Is it a movie or like a real series? No,
it's a Netflix series about this guy and the world of breeding tigers and lions in America.
Is it real?
Yeah, dude. It's so real you couldn't write it. Fuck. Like, I am still at a loss as to how the fuck this actually exists, but it makes me seem super normal.
Well, on the subject of tigers and lions and being a fucking animal, in terms of your...
that was such an excellent segue.
I know. You don't even know what it's segueing to, so that's better. We promised ourselves we're not making a fucking home workout episode, because I feel like that's going to be done to death.
Yes.
I guess one thing I want to touch on is, the obvious that, you know, training's not everything and that this will be temporary. But, you know, recognizing that training is very important to everyone. That's why we're leasing out the equipment and not just being like, hey, well, training doesn't matter. You know, there's bigger fish to fry right now. And training is a great coping mechanism for what we're going through.
Yeah, 100%.
I guess I wanted to touch on the reality of what an extended period of disrupted training actually looks like to your gains and to your progress, and give people reassurance that it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that... like, even if this lasts 6 months, if you look at it, like, how long have you been lifting weights? Like 15 years, something like that?
Yeah, longer, 17.
Yeah, I'm like 15 or 16, I think. 6 months really doesn't seem like that much when you look back on a time period like that. And
especially because I plan on lifting for the next X amount of time. Like, there is no end date in my head.
Yeah, exactly. And that, I think, is... you've got to admit our own biases in that, that it's really easy to say 6 months doesn't mean anything when you've been training for 15 years already. If you're only 2 years into your training career, then I can see why and completely empathize with 6 months feeling like a lifetime. But just trust us a little bit that you'll look back on this 10 years from now, and I think then it won't mean as much. But also, there's a lot of opportunity in a time like this, you know. Yeah. I think I watched the Melbourne Strength Culture guys talk about pivoting in training, and we had a discussion in our members group about the same idea, this is a great time to explore other physical pursuits or like other areas of your physical performance that perhaps you neglect because you're so busy dealing with just a barbell, you know. I've got a set of rings I've set up in my shed, and my intention is to get better at actually being able to pull my fat ass up off the ground. And yeah, I think it doesn't have to be a stagnant period of training that lacks any progress. It's just that progress might look a little bit different to what you would consider to be a normal amount of progress or a normal focus of progress.
Yeah, for sure. I think another big thing, and I can totally empathize with this. So I was training for a comp June 7th, and I'm at the stage where I've been the most serious about my training from a competition perspective for a very long time, and my training was going very well.
Yeah,
setting up for some really big PBs with the goal of competing at Warriors later in the year. And the immediate disruption to this is that you think, oh well, now my training's gonna be fucked up, so I'm gonna do a comp later in the year, and it's like, well, let me stop you right there. Even if there are comps later in the year, everyone's in the same boat as you right now.
Yeah.
And the reality is there probably aren't going to be many comps this year at all.
Yeah.
Put it this way. Let's say we do lockdown for 4 weeks and we come out of it and we're okay and gyms open, we can run comps again. All the comps that you're planning for right now, June, July, August, are going to get postponed or cancelled because no one's been able to train for the last, preceding 8 to 12 weeks before that. Yeah. So don't get too caught up in that. There's going to be more comps down the track when we're past all of this. For now, it's just about doing what you can with whatever resources that you've got at your disposal.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there are a lot of excellent resources out there for programs at home and things like that. But I think it's also a really good time to explore just like movement and training as a thing that isn't just sets and reps on a piece of paper. And I think I was somewhat frustrated by the prospect of having to write a bunch of at-home programs, because I don't need a program to follow at home. I can just do some shit and come back tomorrow and do some different shit and probably still make progress, you know. But I forget that stems from a lifetime of experience in the gym following programs and not following programs. But I think I would encourage people at least to just like once or twice in a week with whatever tools you have at your disposal, just like play a bit, have some fun, do some different things, you know, explore different movements or different modalities or things like that that you wouldn't normally do, because I think there's a lot of opportunity to learn in that scenario outside of the constraints of what you would normally do in training. And I think that is where you can learn a lot about how you respond to movement, what areas perhaps you are lacking in strength or in control or something like that. I think that's where there can be a lot of really interesting hidden gems in this sort of process, is exploring areas that you wouldn't normally touch and being just a bit more creative and less rigid about how you approach things.
For sure. Yeah, I love that. I mean, like, you're going to be forced to now go down a road where you have to rely on training modalities that don't revolve around intensity, because most of you aren't going to have access to the things that you need to produce the intensity. So you're going to have to play with tempo. You're going to have to play around with variation. You're going to have to play around with blood flow restriction, even higher rep, higher volume, whatever it may be.
Fuck your shit up with just body weight and a single kettlebell if you really try hard enough.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And like you said, you're going to have to get creative. You're going to have to think about how can I rig up some ghetto stuff to create similar movement patterns. You're going to have to revert back to where a lot of machines were designed on, what real life movements these things were designed on, or real life exercises.
Shout out to Nick Stone from the gym, who put in our members group the other day. He spent $25 on cables and pulleys from Bunnings and created his own loadable pulley setup with hanging from a carport.
I think someone just sent me a video. Did he post something about that?
Yeah, he posted on Instagram. It's probably on the Burley page still as well.
I've seen a lot of people like rig up, buy some timber and knock it together to make a ghetto squat stand or a ghetto bench press, a ghetto combo. Yeah,
exactly.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's been cool to see people thinking outside the box like that. I think that's where, potentially you can get some really fucking good ideas about that. Shout out Media Team, who's like a slingshot put on backwards is a really great pec fly. It's things like that where you can actually have some real fun with that. I think it's really easy to look at a situation like this as look at what you've lost and how shit everything is, when instead you can look at this as an opportunity to explore new things. I was riding a mountain bike the other day because I'm trying to get into riding bikes and being less fat, which was going to be great, you know, go ride in a forest with no one around until I got 400 meters into a ride and I fucking sheared the bolt that holds the crank on. Fortunately I have a bike guy who's repairing it as we speak. But it's things like that. It's exploring different avenues of performance, because like you said, intensity's not going to be as easy to come by in the next few months, especially if all you've got is a bar and a handful of plates or less, you know.
For sure.
But that doesn't mean you can't make progress.
Do you know who Tom Haviland is?
No.
Tom Haviland, he was at GPC Nationals in 2012. He did bench only on our day, and he's gigantic. He's like 6'5" or something, and I think he weighs around 140, 150, and he is completely peeled, like he's shredded.
Is such a good word for that.
Yeah, he's a jailhouse strong guy now, so you'll see him on their page. I think his Instagram's private, but if you follow him, hopefully he accepts. The reason I bring him up, he trains in like a paddock with horses and stuff, like the oldest, rustiest, like homemade, beat up yoke and farmer's walks. He does like strongman stuff. It's so badass. Like he'll be doing a 400 kilo farmer's or something like that. No, that's way too heavy, sorry. But a really heavy yoke, and there'll be a horse in the way that he has to like shoe while he's walking this fucking jacket. It's so cool. It's like, he's not going to have a problem through this.
I said that to someone the other day. Like, I think I said it to a mutual friend of ours. Like, man, take your four-wheel drive out in the bush and find some fucking stones. Like, just bring them home. Lift some stones. Lift some shit. Like, there's so much that you look at in life and just ignore completely.
Yeah.
When your eyes open a little bit and you're forced to be a bit more creative, there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Mm.
I think it's going to suck for a lot of us for a long time. This is going to be a hard few months, but I feel like from a business standpoint, if you can get your business through this, then you can probably get your business through just about anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a real positive thing. It's going to, I guess, the businesses, the people who can weather this are really going to stand out as the leaders in the industry. I think that's good.
Yeah, and I think that, I said it to someone the other day, like in 5 years of owning a gym or owning a business, I've always been prepared for everything to be burnt to the ground because I fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like, I did something dumb and my business completely collapsed. I made a mistake. Like, I'm prepared for that because, you know, if anything, I'll probably learn something out of that. But to be in a position where we're potentially facing this indeterminate amount of time where we're not allowed to function as we traditionally would because of someone else, that's been really hard, I think. And it's certainly promoted a lot of resourcefulness in how I think about things and those sort of things. So I think if you can look at the positives of it and come out the other side, then life will be a little bit easier on the other end.
Yeah.
It's certainly strange times, and I suspect will continue to be strange times for some time into the future.
I think that's enough.
Yeah, man. Should we plug our live Peak Speak that we're going to do at some point?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're going to jump on. I reckon we do it a bunch of times through this period. We're all going to be sitting at home.
Yeah, I'm down.
Like, as long as the fucking Australian government does something useful and, you know, locks us down.
I don't have an opinion, but I definitely have an opinion.
Definitely have an opinion on that. It's a conspiracy, man. Like, yesterday, Queensland had to vote. We all had to go line up and fucking vote. And I reckon now they're gonna be like, let's lock down because the vote's done. I doubt it's got anything to do with that, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm being facetious. But I will be very, very surprised if we're not in a stage 3 lockdown by the end of the week.
Yeah, that's certainly the discussions I'm hearing. So, yeah, live peaks.
I'd go further than that. I'd be very disappointed in the Australian government if we're not in lockdown 100%. By the end of the week.
The plus side of that is maybe we're going to have a live peak speak or two or six.
Several. Exactly. We'll post about it somewhere before you hear about this anyway.
Yeah, maybe we will. Maybe we won't. Who really knows? Excellent. All right. That's us, I think.
Sweet.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Tell your mom.
Have a good day, my friend.
Follow us, etc.